As someone has said, the church is wonderful. I love the church. It's the people in the church that I can't stand. Well, we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. Frictions can occur even between believers as disagreements and personal agendas rise to the surface. Today, Erwin Lutzer exposes a not-so-secret secret. Christians don't always get along. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new four-part series on Christians in Conflict. He comes now to speak to us on what to do when personalities collide.
Have you ever wondered what God is doing in your life if you are a Christian? Well, I can tell you today what he is doing. He is trying to reproduce in you some of the characteristics of Jesus. We can't have them all, but we can have some of them, like love and forgiveness and patience and faith. And so God is reproducing all that in our lives. And he does it in two different ways. First of all, through circumstances which we can't control, sickness and a whole host of other things that are beyond the bounds of your ability to control. And secondly, people, sometimes difficult people. Talking about the person who plays the stereo too loud in your condo right next to you so that your walls shake too. Talking about the coworker who lied and betrayed you at work. Talking about the colleague who always needs to have things come out his way or her way, and they are totally insensitive to your own needs and to your own concerns. Those are the kinds of people we're talking about. We're talking about the relatives who chiseled you out of your inheritance, the people who do you in, the people who don't even like you, who always are trying to get one up on you. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, who has turned out to be an enemy. That's who we're talking about. Anybody ever meet somebody like that? And maybe the person who is sitting in your chair is someone just like that. Have you ever wondered why it is that the people don't change? Why don't people just shape up and change? The answer is that most of those people I've just been describing think that they are perfectly fine, thank you very much. Those relatives who do you in, they think to themselves they're being much more gracious to you than you deserve. They are right, they think to themselves. So that's why change is so difficult. Believe me, ladies, the only time you can change a man is when he's a baby. So keep that in mind. Now today, we're going to be talking about difficult people. And what I have to say is going to be very difficult. It is going to be so countercultural, so counterintuitive, so against our nature that some of you are going to say, I can't even touch this because it's beyond what I'm able to do. And so it is. That's why we need the fullness of the Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us obey God's word today in a very radical way. But after we've obeyed God's word, God is going to prove his word to be right. And I want you to write me a letter later telling me how God changed your life as a result of this message. Because we need God's help, would you join me one more time in prayer? Because only God can help us do what God requires us to do. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, make these transforming moments, we pray. We ask that as we think about what your word tells us to do, enable us to do it. Resolve tension. Bring people into deliverance. May they not be overcome by evil, but may they overcome evil with good. But we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The passage of Scripture is the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. I'm beginning today in verse 13, and very quickly, all this is still by way of introduction. Paul is talking to the people in Rome through the book of Romans, and if you are here today without a Bible, your pew Bible, it's page 948. 948. Because today we're going to walk through the scriptures, and I'm simply going to expound them to you and let the Word do the work. That's what we want to let God do through His Word. He begins in verse 9, actually, Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Love is the great hallmark of the Christian, because if you can't love, you must not be saved. Love is what takes us from being self-absorbed to other people absorbed. It transfers our focus from ourselves to others and the willingness to sacrifice for them. And the actual Greek text says, let love be without hypocrisy. I like that better than even the word sincere, though of course that is the meaning. Let it be without hypocrisy. We've all met people who aren't good, but it is very important for them to appear good. So what Paul is saying here is, be sure that it's the kind of love that isn't simply of the token kind, so that you can ease your conscience, but inwardly you don't love at all. Let love be without hypocrisy. Spoke last time about those who think there are too many hypocrites in the church. If you ever find somebody who says, oh, there are too many hypocrites in your church, say, come and join us. There's always room for one more. That would be one way to handle it. So he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Abhor what is evil. That's a sermon in itself. I must hurry over it, except to say that by nature we don't abhor what is evil. And television has desensitized us so that we don't hate what is evil at all. In fact, we may even accept what is evil. How can you abhor that which is evil when your nature loves it? You can't wake up in the morning and say, well, today I'm going to begin to abhor what is evil. That is something that God births in our hearts by giving us a passion for Jesus that is greater than our passion to sin. You'll never overcome sin unless you love Jesus more than you do your sin. So we should abhor what is evil. It was Alexander Pope who says, vice is a monster of so frightful mien, as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too oft, familiar with face, first we endure, then we pity, then we embrace. Abhor what is evil. Only God can do that in our hearts. And then he says, cling to what is good. All right, all that by way of introduction. We're talking about difficult people. We're talking about human relationships that are going nowhere. We're talking about living with people who always want to take advantage of us. People who, whenever you tell them something, they want to take what you have told them and twist it a half turn. We're talking about people like that. How do we handle them? Are you ready? Are you ready for what God has to say about those kinds of people? In other words, what God may be saying about you? Are you ready? Let's begin. There are three qualities that we have to have that Jesus had that will give us the grace to be able to deal with people like that. First of all, the power of blessing. You'll notice now Paul is broadening it in verse 14, and he says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. The power of blessing, those who are regarded as our enemies or difficult people. To bless means that I affirm them. I may not affirm everything that they have done, but I affirm them as individuals. To bless means that I connect with them. To bless means that I am willing to give of myself. I'm willing to accept them. And we begin the idea of blessing within our families. When you have children who are acting out, when you have problems with young women, like someone said here in Chicago who owns a joint where young women dance for men, he said they are dancing for the fathers whom they did not have. Mike Singletary asks all those in prison to whom he speaks, how many of you had a good relationship with your father? He says at one point that he has not yet seen a single hand raised. You see, if you grew up with a dad who always judged you, a dad whom you could never please, what you'll discover is that you may become a workaholic just to kind of prove who you are, because you've been missing your father's blessing. So within our families, we bless one another. We bless them. But also we bless our friends. Those who know me well will attest to the fact that about 90% of the time I say to people, God bless you. I say this in stores. I say this to people at the checkout counter. All of the human relationships, I almost always say to them, God bless you. Most of the time they say, well, God bless you too, or else they say, thanks. We live in a world that needs blessing. Let me tell you a story. This past week I flew to Chattanooga and I caught a cab to the airport. 12 to 15 minutes at the most with this driver. Had never seen him before. We talked about Iraq. Then he told me that he was in the Vietnam War. And he said, in war, you just have to blow people away. You can't have any pity. He says, I killed Viet Cong. He said, I went into this village because I was a gunner. They shot at me, and I said, you shoot at me, I'll shoot at you. And he said, I mowed the whole village down, everyone in the village, and he described it. And then he surprised me by saying, and he says, you know what the worst part of it all was? And I said, what? He said, I loved doing it. He said, they wanted to kill me, so I wanted to kill them. And he's describing what he did. And I asked how many he killed, and I won't tell you the number, but it was a very, very high number according to his estimate. By now, we're almost at O'Hare Airport. And so I said to him, did this affect your relationship with your family when you got back? Oh, yeah, he said, I was mean. He said, I didn't want anyone to talk with me. He said, I never beat them, but I'd wake up in the night hearing shells in my dreams falling close to me and detonating. And he said, it really affected me. All right, by now we are at O'Hare.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're going to have to tune in next time to find out exactly what happened before I got out of that cab at O'Hare Airport. But I do need to give you a heads up, so to speak, and tell you that I did have an opportunity to bless that man. We have to realize that we live in such a broken world, don't we? It's a world with so much pain. It's a world with hopelessness. Just before recording this, I received an email from a woman whose husband was killed in that terrible experience at 9/11 in New York. What pain she continues to go through. What sense of separation, struggles with anger and unresolved issues. Let us vow today that we are going to be a means of blessing to this broken world. Can we do that? And my friend, today, if you decide that you're going to bless somebody, find someone perhaps who has been mean to you. Give them a blessing, and God will reward you. Clearly, the text of Scripture is so accurate when it says, bless those who curse you. And the Bible says that when we do that, when we bless others, God in turn begins to bless us. And so I end by saying, God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has introduced the third message in his series on Christians in Conflict. Tomorrow, more about that cab driver Erwin Lutzer was able to bless. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on Christians in Conflict can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Christians in Conflict when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. People getting you down, learn how blessing them can really be the solution. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.